Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT, we'll be chatting the likelihood of Victor Oladipo's injury to derail the Pacers' season. Has LeBron James really made a massive impact in Los Angeles? Staying with the Lakers, we'll be discussing whether Brandon Ingram needs to potentially move teams to realize his full potential. We'll be chatting Kawhi's new shoe deal, Pop finding the modern NBA boring, and we'll be discussing if the Rookie of the Year race is more open than you think. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another episode of Just Ball Things. With me today in the lovely, dreary, I guess it has
it
been.
It was lovely yesterday.
It was lovely yesterday. The lovely Melbourne, Australia. J-Man, Jack Manuel, where I am also. I'm also in Melbourne.
Your tone Let's get on and this. flow with right now is putting me off, Nick.
You are J-Man Jack Manuel.
Me.
And how are you?
I'm okay.
Well, that is fabulous.
Change the doc.
That is
Give
fabulous.
Me a fact.
You told me what my fact should be today.
Are you going to change it?
And I can't remember what you told me.
It was about the Wizards.
Was it?
Yes, it was about the fandom.
Jack, what's my fact?
You've changed the doc and you've just lost your mind. The Wizards are a less popular fan base than the Brooklyn Nets, despite the fact that of years of...
It's a bit depressing.
Yeah,
because I voted against my own Wizards today.
I accidentally voted for the Wizards as well. So technically that cancels it out, I guess. Our votes
I guess.
Go to the right ones.
But there was a poll. Did you put it out on OTG today? The poll that went out, and it's like, who would you rather be supporting long-term, Wizards or Nets? I voted for the Nets. And... 91% of people also voted for the Nets.
Strong percentage. That's an A+.
It is a sad time, but we beat you today, so
you did.
I'm pretty happy.
You get the last laugh, the first laugh?
Second laugh, because you beat us the first time.
So there's another laugh coming up, actually, because there we're versing you pretty soon.
We're in the East together, so we would be four.
And we're pretty close as well, so like they're always scheduled.
We'll be playing each other four times.
Yeah, so there's going to be lots of laughing. No way, do you have any laughs there? We don't have the Kawhi laugh, do we? We had the remix, the Kawhi laugh remix.
Oh, yeah, the Kawhi laugh.
You've got to get the remix on your soundboard. You're a couple of spots there. But
I need to get a bigger soundboard. Anyway, we have changed the doc.
Go.
And so...
What's doing here?
We're going to give you avenues on which way you can contact us. Because I assume 3 minutes into the podcast...
Everyone's just
that you're
sick
still,
of us.
...that you're still with us.
Really?
So you can contact us on Twitter. JBT Nick is myself. And the J-Man JBT is Jack. We're both on Twitter. And we use it.
I use it very.
You use it heavily. Yeah. I use it.
Incrementally.
I use it all right. Like probably weekly. I give a fire tweet, but the quality over quantity. You know, come on, Jack.
Doesn't count on Twitter, mate.
We're also closely affiliated with OTG Basketball. You can follow them on Twitter at OTG Basketball. They've got an awesome podcast network as well, with news on their website and keep up to date with all the things NBA. So again, at OTG Basketball, you can follow them. Facebook.com/JustBallThings. You can find us there. And JBTPodcast@gmail.com if you want to email us with some potential Busek Manuel scales.
Right, review.
Subscribe.
Add that one in underneath next week.
But it's a work in progress.
How long did that take you?
2 seconds.
You just like deleted one row and then inserted a new
row.
Yeah,
and then I just
changed the numbers.
Yep.
You did well, mate. I'm impressed.
I was bored at work.
Yeah, fair enough.
I just did.
I'm glad you're using your time wisely anyway. You're getting paid to do JBT things.
Damn right.
Not too bad. Hopefully your bosses aren't listening. They're not listening.
They won't be listening.
this isn't just electronic things, dispensaries, podcast.
There's a guy at work who likes NBA. That's another thing.
What fan? We got one?
I didn't tell him about our podcast.
Does he?
I'm waiting.
Okay.
I'm going to make a big spectacle.
Yeah, make it like a Christmas present for him.
Your subscription to JBT. It's free. So I've spent nothing on your present.
Beautiful. Best things in life are free.
Busek Manuel Scale. For those of you who are new, this is a scale created by us. Sum up how likely things are to happen. Some things just never change, Jack. Just like Busek Manuel Scale. We scale it on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact,
or straight up fact. First one here, Jackie boy. Victor Oladipo. He went down. Injured.
Well, he's been down.
He's been down.
And he's still down.
He's still down.
He's not getting back up.
He is not getting back up anytime soon. Where is this going? the Victor Oladipo injury will derail the paces this season. Jack.
Yes.
Is that a yes?
No,
answering
yes
your question?
In response to what do you want me to say?
I don't think it will be too detrimental. I'm going to give this one a Twitter.
Yeah, Twitsky.
Because he's an all-star player.
He's very good. He's NBA amazing. Caliber.
Exactly.
Yep.
Great offensively, great defensively.
Yep.
He is very solid on that team. But I think they are a well-drilled enough team.
You've got a good depth.
Exactly. To not...
Actually, who's winning in Pacers not, Kings right now? Look that up while I chat.
Is that playing right now? Okay.
Literally right now. So like, there's another reference point for us to speak about.
Mm-hmm.
I'll back you up on the Twitter, Nick. I think, though, that he is the fulcrum. I think he's more important offensively than defensively. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where they might lose a little bit, especially in their... Their guard depth is okay. Their rookie... Aaron Holiday, I think it is. One of the other Holidays. There's Justin, there's Drew, and Aaron. Yeah, I think
there's
I'm
an Aaron? Oh,
yeah,
man.
He's the rookie for the Pacers. He's quite good.
Too far out of the league.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of Holidays happening.
A lot of Holidays.
In the NBA right now. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying in the fact that they have good depth. They're well drilled. It's just how much will this derail them? They have top four home court advantages that they are looking for. They had... You know, last season when they went up against the Cavs, and they put up a good show, went down in seven. But Victor Oladipo, if we're talking about MVPs for team, I think that other than like whatever team LeBron is on, Victor Oladipo might be one of the most important players to his team. Like maybe Harden to the Rockets. Actually, Davis to the Pelicans is an obvious one as well.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, yeah, he's in that sort of range of importance to his franchise and how much he has an impact on their success.
I rebut your most important.
Don't bust me.
With some statamundos.
Statamundo.
Some statamundos.
Write it down.
Yes, all right. I don't even know how to spell that.
I'll write it down for you. Well, you chat about your statamundos.
Defensive rating and offensive rating do not change with on-off.
Interesting.
With
just because you figured it out now, Nick.
And I figured out how to do I figured out how to do on-off numbers, and I've been playing around with it for a while now. It's been great. But yeah, in light of this injury, I figured I'd find out.
Yep. Dig a bit deeper.
Yep. And nothing much changes. Their pace is actually a lot quicker with him off the court.
That's really
which is
interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll obviously play
it. I spelled Statamundos wrong. Give me the pen back. Oh, it's Statamundos. Should be Statamundos.
Statamundo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Right. Cool. Thanks, mate. No, that's a good one, Nick. I think a lot of people would be surprised about that. And our boy Cable Hoops, Corey, who is one of the biggest Pacers fans going around. If you're not following him, I know Gigi Basketball at Cable Hoops. Get around him. So yeah, that's certainly very interesting. He is still, as much as you know, stats provide a picture. You still have to go by, you know, gut and eye test, that sort of thing. Where are they at right now, Nick, in terms of their Eastern Conference standings or their, you know, just general standings within the NBA?
That is an excellent question, Jack. I would be love if my eyes could find the Indiana Pacers right now. They are 13-9 overall. They're eighth.
That's pretty good.
In total standings.
That's pretty good. So they're a top 10 team.
Exactly. What's really nice is a 6-4. 6-4 home, but a 7-5 road.
They're fifth right now, so...
Oh, well, with I think they're beating the Kings as well, so that might bring them up.
That'll certainly help. I think the Pistons had a nice win today against the Warriors, so that sort of put them at fourth. But I think the Pacers are a better team, but they are a similar range. Blake Griffin continues to play great basketball. Before we move on, let's just put it right now. Who is more likely to get that fourth seed, Pacers or Pistons, taking into account the Oladipo injury? And how good Blake Griffin has been playing. Like,
yeah, that's... With the injury, they're definitely going to lose a step.
And that a recent update has said, like, Woj put out, a follow-up tweet and saying that it's not necessarily a setback, it's just that he hasn't progressed. So I think that's one thing that Pacers fans should be encouraged by, to an extent. But give me a quick opinion on who you think has a better chance.
To take the fourth seed, I don't think either of them will eventually take the fourth seed.
Who you got?
I have a firm belief that Boston will bounce back
in the top four. Yeah.
But
who will finish
come the end of the season? I I think Detroit has shown enough
to be better than the Pacers. That's a hot
especially
take.
Especially given the injury.
Soundbite right there, mate.
Especially given the injury right now. They will lose a step.
Yeah.
But assuming full health with the Pistons.
Okay.
Amazing coach in Dwayne Casey.
Yeah, yeah.
Pistons have shown enough.
I think a Pistons Pacers series would be pretty interesting. I think that they both match up.
Yeah, well, yeah, 4 and 5. So it doesn't if they're
right,
four,
I mean, right now
if they're 4 and 5, then they definitely will match up. Doesn't matter where they finish. So,
but
yeah.
Nick, a team who has been had their ups and downs themselves. If the Lakers brought back their same team as last season, they would have the same record. And this is from a Twitter, Damon Rengula, who is a very known big Lakers head himself. Bit of a fire take, but
I don't know where you get this stuff, mate.
I'm all over Twitter.
This is crazy.
Wild.
This is crazy. Like reading the comments of that Twitter section.
Yeah.
People are so
anti LeBron.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, like they're so quick to take on any fire take. It's like, oh my god, this is actually probably true. No, it's not.
Okay.
We're talking. Look at the Cavs.
Yeah.
If it was the same logic, then wouldn't if LeBron would not have made the Lakers better, why are the Cavs so bad?
I think the roster construction is different. And I think the point Damon's trying to make, and I think a lot of other Lakers fans would attest to, is the fact that the Lakers, you could argue that LeBron is stunting the development of Kuzma, Ingram, and Lonzo. Maybe not Hart, because I think Hart has... I think Hart fits as a more complementary piece next to LeBron. Whereas guys like Lonzo, Ingram, and Kuzma have worked best with the ball in their hands, especially Ingram, who we will get to very soon. I'll go alternative as well. I think I'll back you up. I think, you know, you look at their record right now, they're actually doing pretty well.
They're over 500. They're sixth, but it's the West.
Yeah, and I think that their up and down nature is to do with the meshing of how they're meshing with LeBron. But I remember Magic Johnson coming on. Did you see the quote of him saying, you know, we don't want to be a LeBron-centric team? And I'm just like, why would you not want to be a LeBron-centric team? And I think that they've missed... We've argued about this on previous podcasts. Not necessarily argued, just discussed, because I think we are in agreement that their free agency period in the offseason was left a lot to be... desired, because you know you don't add any quality three point shooting around LeBron James. Instead, you add Rajon Rondo, Lance Stephenson, yeah, yeah. Michael Beasley, those sort of guys who need the ball in their hands again. Mm. I think Magic Johnson's just playing in a different sort of mindset. But speaking of Mr. Ingram, Nicholas, Brandon Ingram can only fulfill his potential on a team other than the Los Angeles Lakers. What do you think?
I'm going to give this one...
Ooh.
I'm going to put some credence behind this.
Okay,
one.
Go.
I'm going to give this one a Wikipedia fact.
Okay.
That's
pretty high.
It is. It is. Because I legitimately think that Brandon Ingram will not... I don't know. He won't realize his full potential at the Lakers, or whether his full potential is not high at all. And okay. I haven't quite made up my mind
yep.
on how good Brandon Ingram is.
Yep.
Obviously, preseason with LeBron, I expected great things.
How much did you see him last season? He was pretty good.
But he seems to me to have heavily stagnated. I think the starters mentioned something, or was it... Was it
It was ESPN who put out that stat.
Zach Lowe. No, it wasn't a stat. I think it was a take okay. by either the starters or Zach Lowe. It was on one of the podcasts that I listened to during the week.
You don't just listen to JBT every single day?
I don't.
On repeat?
I mean, I should.
Yeah.
Let's get that listen count up.
Just like whenever we're in bed, just leave it on like on repeat.
Just repeat, yeah.
Gets up those iTunes rankings.
That Brandon Ingram is a taller, skinnier Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah,
I thought that was a bit harsh, but...
Yeah, so...
It's not entirely inaccurate.
No, but I think Brandon Ingram has a much more well-rounded game on both ends of the floor. And the stat that was making the rounds that a lot of people have, you know, gravitated towards is the per 36 on and off numbers with LeBron and when he's off the floor. So per 36, when LeBron's off the floor, he averages apparently 29.5 points. Someone else responded with that, the fact that Brandon Ingram hasn't scored more than 26 points since his high school career. He's not a known scorer. With LeBron James on the court, it's 15.1 points. His field goal percentage is 56% with LeBron off, and it's 44% with him on. And the net efficiency is negative 0.3 with LeBron on, and plus 12 with him off. Obviously, you take those stats with what you will, like with Nick was saying about Oladipo. But a thing that I actually mentioned on The Buzz literally a couple of hours ago before I headed over here, Nick, was I'd love Ingram on the Nets. I would absolutely love him. I think he would be fantastic.
Coach
there.
Kenny as well.
Our play development, exactly. Yeah. But obviously...
You seem to be taking Lakers rejects right now.
We are. And funnily enough, the person, like, obviously the wild takes on Twitter, as we all love, was like, let's do a straight-up trade, D'Angelo Russell for Brandon Ingram. Obviously, that's not going to happen because Magic Johnson is the one that, like, shot through some parting shots at D'Angelo and his leadership style and such. But I think Brandon Ingram is a little bit similar in his sort of nature, but he is immensely talented. I love his ability as a facilitator, as a big man. He's got some really good talents. It's just whether they can be fulfilled in La La Land remains to be seen. But
it seems like an incredibly inefficient player. It screams to me
he
like...
He wasn't last season. His rookie season, yes. Last season when it was like his team, Lonzo's team, and they were sort of growing together, like sort of just giving the reins to the offense. I liked it. But when you are the king is there, you must cede responsibility to him. So, I mean, I'll throw to you before we move on. I just love throwing questions at you. I love unprompted questions because it's... I know
keep
you
me
give,
on my toes.
You give me some fire takes like the Pistons one, which I'll need a soundbite. Make sure you...
All right.
But if you were Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, would you have made the trade for, like, if you had to include Brandon Ingram in the package and it got you Kawhi Leonard or Paul George, would you have traded Ingram away?
Of course I would have.
But, like, not knowing, say in hindsight, obviously, but Ingram, we didn't know about Ingram's form. So, like, there was still that superstar potential that they thought of him.
Okay.
It's a bit harder.
Trying to get rid of that hindsight is difficult.
But
I mean, I was high on Ingram.
Did we both have him as most improved?
I think so.
Yeah, I had him as well.
Because he did take a jump from that rookie season. The rookie season was a bit near, but I think a lot of that had to do with D'Lo when he was still there.
Yeah,
I think he was still there. Was Kobe's last year the first year of Brandon Ingram, or was that the year after?
I think it was the year after.
I think Kobe retired and then Brandon Ingram was drafted.
We don't need
drafted.
To speak about Kobe, bro.
Does
you know how much we dislike Kobe on this podcast?
Doesn't matter. Anyway.
Don't listen to Jacob.
Yeah. yeah, I... Again, like, it's just... This season's just been a whole bunch of question marks for Brandon Ingram, and I'm not selling all stock, but I'm selling most of them on Brandon Ingram.
Yep, you got to invest it elsewhere, mate. Exactly. Maybe you could invest in Kawhi Leonard. Segway. Yes, sir. Give me an applause there. That was pretty good.
I don't have an applause, mate. I've got a drum roll. Have a drum roll.
Wait.
Jazz hands. Have jazz hands.
Kawhi Leonard and New Balance will be a match made in heaven, Nicholas.
This is 100% true. You think
you're
going to
cop some New Balance ones, Kawhi ones?
The loser bloody New Balance shoes. That tacky N on the frickin' side.
They're beautiful.
And that white, just old dad look.
Gonna mow the
is 100% Kawhi. And it's funny you say that, because Chelsea's dad has three pairs of the same New Balance shoes.
Shout out to Mr. Bree.
The white New Balance shoes that he does his walking in. He's got a pair for gardening.
But so they're specific activities.
Yeah, well, he doesn't want to ruin his walking shoes, but it is amazing, and they are the worst looking runners.
May I ask?
But his adage is just like, I found a shoe that works for me, it's exactly...
For those that don't know, man, Mr. Breen, so I've never met the fine man himself, does he happen to be of the Caucasian variety?
Oh, he is very white.
Okay.
but it's just hilarious, because you look at those shoes, and you think of the stereotype, and it's... white dad.
Yeah.
And a white dad owns... Like, it's just amazing.
And I mean, Gordon... We spoke about Gordon... I'm not sure for how much at length we did, but I'm pretty sure we mentioned Gordon Hayward was, like, one of the number one targets before they struck out, and I think he re-signed with Nike at, like, a lesser sort of rate. But Gordon Hayward, who's apparently a Trump supporter, would have been a nice little get for them. But Kawhi Leonard...
It's perfect. It is perfect. The most boring man in NBA with the most boring shoe deal.
It's odd because we know that he was offered, during when he was injured in San Antonio, he was offered that deal by Air Jordan / Nike, who is that feature star is Russell Westbrook, and so he gets all the big bucks and stuff. Mm. I think Melo is still with them, but on a lesser scale. If not, he might have left or not been offered a new deal. So the fact that Kawhi knocked back Air Jordan, which is, you know, an established brand. I mean, I think I was chatting to this with Chaz when we were watching The Jump as well. Dude, like, go with, like, a Chinese brand or something. Like, go with, like, you know...
Dellavedova went with, like, his own brand. Random... Yeah. No, it was some random brand.
Spencer Dinwiddie has, like, his own brand that he does, like, new shoes every week. And that's having an awesome effect on, like, you know, his popularity in general. And then even Puma. Puma's shoes look pretty sick. Like, they're I think they're new purple colorways. Like, I wish I had just, like, copious amounts of money for, like, technology stuff related to, like, podcasting and everything, iPads and stuff. And then you just have, like, an entire wardrobe. Like, I would fill up your entire wardrobe with just, like, NBA-related merchandise and
paraphernalia. You watch us eat our words, and we watch New
Balance. Where are they copping those Kawhi ones?
You watch New Balance come out with the sickest shoes, the sickest kicks.
Really?
You watch us eat our words.
Really?
Because, like, of course it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I feel like it will.
All right. Well, we'll have to wait and see on that one.
But okay. I hope. That may be more of a hope. Like, good on New Balance trying to take on
the
NBA.
Yeah, why not? I have no idea about their history, but I'm pretty sure they were in the shoe game. But
I mean, they are in the shoe game. In the NBA shoe game.
As in, yeah.
They definitely move towards white men joggers.
Yeah. I mean, once I hit, you know, my 40s, so I think I've got to invest a couple, maybe. What size is Chelsea's dad? You know, I'll get him to hit me up. I'll get the hand-me-downs. Now, speaking of old people and white, Greg Popovich. It's not too bad either. Yeah. Give me some jazz hands. Come on. Give me some fucking jazz hands.
Jazz hands.
Okay. Greg Popovich. He had an extensive rant about the state of the current NBA and the pace and space. The beautiful game, as we call it, but not so beautiful to Mr. Pop himself. Three-point shooting has made basketball boring, Nick.
Wrong.
Okay, you're a big three-point fan.
Yes. Basketball has never been as entertaining. Because you can have a team catch fire from three and drain 15 points in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It is amazing. To be fair, maybe from a coaching perspective, because how, like, you can't... There's no play set around... Well, there are, like, getting open threes, but when you're hot from three,
yeah,
what can you possibly do as a coach? So from a coaching perspective, I understand why the long game has made basketball boring for Pop. You know, there's no nice inside play. There's no fizzing around.
Bro, he's just salty because he's got, like, no three-point
shoes. Yes, he is 100% salty because he traded Danny Green.
Yep. Who's killing it in Toronto
exactly,
right now.
Exactly, especially from three.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard, who could shoot the three.
Yep, money's gone.
Yeah, for DeMar DeRozan.
Yep.
Who was starting to shoot the three, feel like that's a lot of Nick Nurse and influence.
Yep, and their offense.
And now he's just gone back to his mid-range game again.
I can't remember what the exact stat is, but it's around the three. He was taking about around three per game last season. He's down to like one and a half. But some stats, and this is via Zach Lowe's piece when he was talking about the Spurs in general. I'm stealing some stats. I'm taking over, mate. They are last in their portion of shots that come from three-point range per clean the glass. They are 29th in shots at the rim. Almost 47% of their shots come from mid-range, which is 6 percentage points higher than any other team. They also have an expected effective field goal percentage, which is based on location, each shot around the rim, three-point percentage, that sort of thing, at 49%. If you are under 55 or 53, let's give it 53, you're pretty trash as a player. And, like, who's their best three-point shooter? Bryn Forbes. Patty Mills. Bryn Forbes, I believe, takes around 5 a game. He should be taking 10. Like, I think whether this is, like, Popovich's last season, he's just going out like, fuck, man. I want to go back to, like, 20 years ago when I had David Rodson, Tim Duncan, feeding them to the post.
Yeah.
Let's just do it with LaMarcus.
Forbes takes 5 a game.
And which is, he should be taking 10. He's very good. What's his percentage?
44.
So, like, if you're shooting 44% on 5 shots, you should be taking 10. And, like, make it to 39%. That's still awesome. So,
what's DeMar's 3-point percentage right now?
20?
18. Pretty close. I would have guessed higher than that. Yeah. But he does only take 1.5 a game. That is atrocious.
It's pretty bad.
But he's averaging more points than he did last season.
Yeah, it's a weird conundrum there. I think he's in the perfect situation. Like, he wanted to go back to his old school stuff.
Well, yeah, his 2-point shooting right now is.
But the future for San Antonio certainly is murky. I don't think, and this has been discussed on plenty of other pods, I don't see a long-term future for Greg Popovich there. I think he lasts this season, maybe next at most, but my money is on that. We don't see, and I think the Spurs beyond that, it'll be interesting to see whether, you know, Becky Hammond takes over or whatever, but I think, you know, Pop is going to be bored of the current NBA.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, obviously, he made those comments about Kawhi. If we had a podcast a little bit earlier in the week, we would have been speaking about that, but seems to be a bit of an angry old bugger right now. Not enjoying stuff. But
what's worse? Hold on. I love these stats on the fly thing.
Of course you do, mate.
Because DeMar DeRozan is shooting the majority of his 2-point shots between 10 and 16 feet. Because I'm like, if he's getting to the rim,
well, he's good at that, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's good at getting.
He should be doing more of that.
Yeah, his shots between 0 and 3 feet are, you know, they're high, 23%. Of his shots. 26 is between 10 and 16.
That is way too high. That should be reversed at least.
So between 10 and the 3, between 10 feet and the 3-point arc, you're looking at 48% of his shots are coming from there.
What's his percentage coming from the 3-point arc?
They're good.
I mean, what's his percentage of shots coming from the 3-point arc? So like 25 foot and beyond.
8%.
8%.
8% of his shots are coming from
the 3-point arc. What was it at last season?
Oh, mate, now you...
You've got it right in front of you. But
Where am I looking?
8% last season for the 3-pointers taken.
Where am I looking? Oh, yeah. 20%. 20% of your shots were 3-pointers last year.
That's generally what in the modern NBA, I mean, yes, I get, there is still room for non-3-point shooters. I think in specialty roles, but like, bro, just, you know, have some pepper with your salt. I mean, that was a really bad burn, by the way.
You can look at the at players like Derrick Rose, whose threes aren't his forte, but he does facilitate and he's amazing at cutting to the rim. He's
been killing it from three this season, man. I don't know what the hell happened with him, but...
But like, not known as a three-point shooter.
God, no.
Of course. Players like Ricky Rubio, not known as a three-point shooter, still puts up quite a few threes
a game. Yeah, and even Giannis is shooting like 10% from there, but it's just like, Mark Budenholzer is just like to him, shoot it. We need you to shoot it. Even like a...
Just make them come out to you.
Yes. And like... And
that's all.
And if you're...
Ben Simmons needs to do the same. Like, I'm sick of this. Sick of this shit.
Yeah, I know. We are frustrated with our Benny boy. But Nick, speaking of shit, guys, Devin Booker has no chance of building a super team in Phoenix.
Mate, they are tanking for Zion right now. I put this to you.
Okay.
Right now.
Go for it.
You got a Reza?
Okay. Hold on.
I know I started with a Reza. I probably shouldn't have started
That's
with a
Reza. Weird starting point,
mate. You've got another season of Ayton.
Okay, there
another
we go.
Season of Booker.
That's a bit better.
You draft Zion.
Yeah, right.
And you trade for LeBron.
Why not?
No, but like... That three, like, young.
Yeah.
Very young. You put vets around them.
It could be pretty good.
That's...
I mean, it'd
just be interesting to see, because I don't know how Zion is defensively. I can imagine he would be amazing.
I mean, he's an athletic god.
Like, some of the blocks I've seen from college, I mean, that's still to be seen. Ayton is a negative.
Oh, yeah.
And Booker's...
A negative.
Exactly. So, it's going to be... Because that's their worst stat by far. Their defense, they're giving up so many points. But they're tanking for Zion.
You
watch that three young core attract someone big.
There's
your super team, mate.
I don't believe that Devin Booker was saying through the draft.
Hashtag fact.
But that's actually what I thought of as well. When I was like going through the doc again, as I do through on most days, I'm like,
Wait, it has no chance. Hashtag alternative.
Okay.
There's a very good chance.
That's a very good chance if they get Zion, Cam. Maybe they could do something.
I would probably...
Who is going to Phoenix? No one's going to Phoenix.
Phoenix is a lovely place.
Yes. Okay, they've got Trevor Ariza. They've got Ryan Anderson in a dump deal. Like, they've struck out on LaMarcus Aldridge. They didn't get a meeting with LeBron.
Hot take. Trade Ayton.
Wow. Here we go.
Trade Ayton.
You're on today, mate.
And get a superstar... Because you can't trade Ayton for... Like, a number one draft pick does not equal a superstar.
Yeah.
So, number two.
Adding a Trevor Ariza for filler time.
Yeah, like, you work contracts out, put Ayton as your main piece and go get...
You're telling to trade DeAndre Ayton?
And go sound get like this someone one, mate. Massive. If you get Zion, it all depends on Zion. Because you can get a role player, you can get a role player center.
Yeah.
Who can act as your vet presence.
You're saying Rashawn Holmes isn't good enough, Nicholas?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Jack. I think there's a chance. There is a chance.
You are so up on the Suns, Cole, bro.
Not this year. They're terrible.
You were up on the Suns. You gave them a better chance than Dallas and Memphis. I remember you saying that.
Did I?
I'm pretty sure.
It's crazy now.
Well, you've just said to trade DeAndre Ayton, so we shall move on. Nick, another team that is in the market for a trade, wanting to bolster any sort of talent stocks, the Rockets could do worse than add Terrence Ross to their roster in a trade. Terrence Ross has been good, man. I really like him. He's always been one of my favorite players because he's the prototypical 2K guy. He can dunk and he can shoot the three, and he's been good this season. In fact, Steve Clifford, despite the fact that Vucevic, who I will take back my takes, I think he has been playing like an all-star. I cede my take to Nicholas, who was a bit more accurate. But they're running plays through Terrence Ross because he's probably one of their best, if not their best, perimeter player. Aaron Gordon's been a bit up and down, but they need wing depth like no other.
That's the main thing. It's like what was the question? They could do worse. Of course they could do worse because their wing is exactly what position they need. Yes. And Terrence Ross is a good wing.
Yes.
Like, it seems like the most obvious thing in the world.
I did. You know when you see news, Nick? You scrapped the news topic for me, mate. And I have to figure out a way to turn it into a music man. Well,
this is a hashtag fact. Of course they could do worse. He has been very, very good for the Magic so far.
What's his 3-point percentage?
His effective field goal, which will sum it up, is 55%.
Okay, that's really good. That's really good.
45 from twos, but more importantly, 40% from three.
That's pretty great. And he's
on about six attempts.
That's really good.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's exactly how.
That is exactly what Houston need. They need to. I don't know what.
Would you trade a first for him? Like a first and Marquise Chris? I would.
Because I don't know. A first round pick for Houston right now is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
they're like third last.
But like, obviously, it's not going to be the number five pick, Nicholas. By the end of the season, it'll be mid-teens at best, you'd like to hope.
San Antonio Spurs right now are 14th in the West.
Yeah.
With a record of 10 and 12.
Yeah, and we're like 11th with like 8 and 17 or something.
It's nuts.
It's pretty insane. I think they do need to make a trade. I would give up a first for them because, you know, you're in it on this now with Harden, Paul, Capella. That's your core. You need to work stuff around that. And, you know, does Ariza get bought out? I know Nick thinks he's there a big part of Phoenix's future. Their number one name, apparently.
I'm just saying, it was bad to get rid of. Like, I don't know what the idea was when you got rid of all of the wings that got you
luxury
so
tax.
Far.
Luxury tax, bro.
But are they trying? Yeah, but are they trying to establish
this? What does the finger thing
means? The taxes.
Yes, it does.
Are they trying to establish the same level of play that they were going for last year?
Well, the new owner came in, like bought the team, so like he.
Might be... Or are they trying to establish a new identity by trading those wings? Like maybe we can win in this other way.
Yeah.
They can't.
They cannot. And they will not.
I mean, they're. I think they're 10 and 12 as well, so equal second last with the Spurs.
Yeah.
They need more wings. It's just modern NBA. This is how it's going. They were one of the pioneers in making the NBA like this.
That's true. Mac D'Antoni just changed it last season.
So, play to your strengths.
Yep. PJ Tucker's basically like their best sort of guy, and probably, I would say, their second, third most important player. But that's a take for another day. We will be getting to PJ Tucker a little bit later. But Jaren Jackson Jr., Nicholas, is leading the Rookie of the Year race so far. I hate him because he beat us and he got a 4-point play that was an offensive foul in the last 2 minutes report. So I hate him.
Oh, mate.
I would also
there is some vinegar on those words.
I would
some
also,
venom.
I would also love him on the Nets. He'd be so freaking good. He's just so ridiculously talented. Like, all NBA caliber talented. Nick, you don't need to click on those ones because I clicked on a link that has Basketball Reference player comparison. So if you click on that, it should take you to their stats for the season. I deliberately did that, mate, to make it easy for you.
I appreciate it.
There we go, buddy.
Alternative fact.
So it's the Don?
It's the Don.
We're going to call him Don.
It's the Don.
Don. No one's calling him Don.
Is Don.
Is good. Yes! Don Smallgoods, we are still looking for a sponsorship. I enjoy my ham. I enjoy my hot dogs. Your wonderful product.
Sponsor to here. Fuck, did we just try to get sponsorship from Don Ham? What has this podcast turned into? We have no shame.
Luka Doncic turns into ham sponsorship tax, apparently.
But yeah, I mean, Doncic is just... he's incredible. I cannot...
Is he an all-star?
Mate. Like, if...
because the West is, like,
if
lost...
Simmons was close to being an all-star last year, then...
but Don.
Doncic has to be.
Don's got to be there, yeah.
If Mavs are our sixth, seventh?
Yeah.
By the time February
and
comes around, and he's averaging... I think he's averaging 18 right now, which isn't...
18 which, and a half,
yeah,
bro.
18 and a half.
That's which, really good.
That's about what Mitchell was averaging last
and
year.
And I think he's more efficient as well. 38% from three as well.
His step back three is becoming like...
sexy, bro.
It's becoming his staple. It's like the Dirk fadeaway.
Yeah.
Like, it's that was his thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love watching Luka play.
I want him... like, I'm all in on the Don. The Don is amazing. But I also think that he has... his ceiling is going to be dependent on how he can draw players and like, get them off the dribble, because he doesn't have... an amazing quick step. Whether he's, you know...
deceptively quick, apparently, though. Like, because... Mike Conley on Zach Lowe's podcast, Zach Lowe asked him about Doncic.
The Don.
And he was just like, he's the real deal. He's deceptively quick. He's crafty. Like, he's faking out.
He's doing what he did in the EuroLeague, in the NBA, against NBA caliber talent.
I think we're going to see a second-year slump from Doncic.
Everyone, all of the guys that we talked about, Simmons to an extent, I think he's been okay.
People are going to know how he plays.
Yeah.
Those little fakes.
Holy shit, the Don is actually one of his nicknames on Basketball Reference.
Oh, there you go. The Don, Wonder Boy. Swaggy L.
That's one of the worst.
That is terrible.
That's horrible.
Leave it to Swaggy P.
leave it to the Don.
Yeah, people are going to come down on him hard. People don't know how he plays. It's unexpected. Obviously,
I don't think they're showing
he didn't get a lot of...
yet.
Yeah, he didn't get a lot of airtime as well, being in EuroLeague. I mean,
Ayton, baby. Everyone loves the
exactly.
American college
I feel
dudes.
Like the college players are scared. Oh, they are. They're scouted a lot more from NBA teams. NBA players know the college guys a lot better than they do the EuroLeague stars. So it's not surprising that Doncic has come in and lit up the league.
Yeah.
Because no one knows how he plays.
Yeah, but I think he's been one of the
people
most...
underestimate him. And
I don't think NBA teams do. I think players do. I think
players. Definitely players.
There's that stigma around the sort of the Euro guys.
But it's the players who have to defend him.
Exactly. How close is a Jaren Jackson Jr. to Yusuf? Because he has been hot of late.
Well, that's the thing. It's been of late.
But he started this, like, remember his, if we go through Rookie Watch, I would say he's featured in at least 70% of them, because he puts up, he fills up the stat line probably better than Doncic does.
He's got like a better field goal percentage.
And like he shoots clearly from three well, and he like gets two blocks and like two steals a game nearly. He's like insanely, like I would say Jaren Jackson Jr. is a more complete all-round player than Luka Doncic. And I think Jaren Jackson may even have a higher ceiling because he is a better two-way player. And I think that Luka Doncic's ceiling...
I'm not comfortable with that take.
Okay, well, you know, we can soundbite that other one there. is he number two for you, or is it Trae Young or DeAndre Ayton?
He's number two.
Okay.
He is number two. Yeah, because he is a... he's a massive reason why the Grizzlies are... well, not like
they're
massive.
They're awesome defensively, man. Yeah, and, like, they're playing, like, old-school basketball. Like, yeah. Pop wants them to.
I mean, he's a reason why the Grizzlies are where they are at
with
the moment.
Gasol and, obviously. But
obviously, those
so
are
well.
Being the major catalysts. Who's the Bickerstaff?
Yep, JB Bickerstaff.
I keep forgetting, like, all the new coaches that came in. I'm losing track on where who's who and where's where.
Yeah.
Where's
Wally?
Yeah, where's Wally? they have turned Memphis from, you know, pre-season where people were thinking
no chance
in hell for playoffs. Haley O'Shaughnessy on one of the Ringer podcasts set out massive apologies because she completely discounted the Memphis.
Did I not mention on a previous pod, Nicholas?
You did.
Hot take marathon.
You did.
I said there'd be a playoff contender.
You did.
I would say...
Well done.
The playoff race is going to be absolutely wild in the West. It's going to be insane. But Nick, a couple more, because we have plenty of time to speak about PJ Tucker's comments. Coach Thibodeau has saved his job in making the Jimmy Butler trade. This is, I think, via the jump or something like that.
I mean...
I think the player saved his
job. He could have secured it a bit more by doing it sooner.
True. That's true.
Yeah, I would have to suss out the stats. I wouldn't know how to do this.
Are you asking for defense? Because I know how they've been defensively.
Not defense, but I would love to know how different the Wolves have been pre and post trade.
Yeah.
Because I believe they had a decent winning streak, and Cat was... This was early in the trade when I was paying attention to it.
Yeah.
And Cat was absolutely demolishing.
Yeah,
teams.
He was doing really well.
Wiggins has been Wiggins.
He's been trash.
Yes, exactly. Covington has been tremendous for
Insane.
Them.
He's been a defensive player of the year candidate.
He is. Yeah. He is. He'd be. I'd have to go through the names, but he would be first team ballot right now.
Yeah, he'd be all defense. Right?
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see his. Where it compares to Davis on defense.
Yeah, like Davis,
and
Giannis, and even Marc Gasol and stuff. But they are, I think the article that I linked, and Chaz was having an argument with me about this. I won the argument, and he had Facebook on his site or whatever. He was like, no, dude, like the Timberwolves have been awesome. They've been like number one defense since Jimmy Butler was gone. I'm like, nah, I think they've been second. I think the Thunder have been first.
Yeah.
I was right. The Thunder had been first in that time period. The Wolves have been second, which is still amazing. I think Robert Covington is the perfect Coach Thibodeau guy. He's going to play like 46 and a half minutes every night. But
it's going to be interesting to see the...
Playoffs, yes or no?
Timberwolves?
For mini.
Yes.
Yes!
Only because I had them preseason and
your take's coming back.
I have had faith for the Minnesota Timberwolves through preseason.
Yeah.
I can't weigh in on them now.
Yeah.
I need one of my takes from preseason.
Kevin Knox is going to be the rookie of the year, baby.
He had a good day.
Not good enough for...
Kings beat the Pacers, by the way, by one.
Oh, that's...
a tough pill to swallow.
That does make our takes about the Pacers a little bit less.
Mm.
But Nick, final one. The Warriors dynasty will end with the retirement of Andre Iguodala. I'll give you... I don't even know how to fully say it. I say Iguodala.
Iguodala.
But then I don't say the L.
Iguodala.
Iguodala. Okay.
Iguodala. It's not hard.
But it is. All
right, so where's this take coming from?
So this is via NBC Sports, and he's going, I'm going to be done soon. I could probably play a legit five more years, but I'll probably max out at three more after this year, maybe three more. His contract, mind you, he's under contract for the 2019-20 season. That's the last season, so next season. I mean, you could make the argument that by that stage, Draymond and KD are done by then. So if you want to factor in the fact of Andre's status, I'm not sure how important Andre is to the Warriors. I would say he'd be their sixth most important player, fifth maybe, on that sort of Sean Livingston sort of range. But, you know, he allows them to do their, you know, ridiculous defensive schemes.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But he has lost a step. Like,
of course.
He has lost
a few
steps.
He's getting on in years.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, the whole thing, people will say, like, Warriors will be all right without KD because the whole KD's leaving at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, they won a championship without him.
Yeah.
They won a championship without him 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
They're not the same team anymore,
Very good point.
They don't have Bogut, for one.
Bogut
was a bigger part of that team than what... Like, no one gives Bogut credit for anything on that
Killing
team.
Killing it for the Sydney anyway, Kings, baby.
I mean, he is.
Killing me on Twitter.
I mean, now. Curry is not... Curry will always be phenomenal, but 4 years older, he's not great. He's not a unanimous MVP. I mean, he was at the start of the season. So
yeah.
Maybe,
Who knows?
Maybe in another 4 years, he won't be that
Who
good.
Knows?
Who knows? Draymond is declined this season, and I only foresee that going down. So I'd be trading him as soon as possible. I think it might end before that.
His contract ends next season. Are the Warriors champions next season? This is like way hot take. I'm not going to hold you to this because I'll give my opinion as well.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Especially if they win this year.
Yeah, I've got a feeling
they are not going four.
I think
if they lose, they're going to be like, well, you know, what are we doing? We won two, we won three out of the past four.
Yeah.
You know, we've done pretty good. Let's trade
Boston,
away and see what we can
Philly.
Get.
I mean, there's no one really in the West that's going to, that's the thing. Like, in their own conference, they should still reign supreme. But Boston, Milwaukee, Toronto are all primed, and Philly as well. So it's the opposite conference to them. But we shall see. But Nick, can I do JB team this week?
Please. Sure.
Yeah.
JB team of the week.
Russell Westbrook, Nicholas, at the point guard position, put up 23 points, 19 rebounds and 15 assists to record his third triple-double of the season in a win over the Cavs. He has now tied Jason Kidd for the third most triple-doubles in NBA history. He's going to be close to top two, if not first, by the end of his career.
Oh, he'll probably be first. I'd have to see.
Oscar Robertson, I think, is the guy off the top
of my head. No one thought he could beat the 100 triple-doubles last two seasons ago.
Yeah, that's what got up the MVP, those numbers. At shooting guard, James Harden dropped 54 points, dished out 13 assists, and grabbed 8 boards in the Houston Rockets' close game against your Wizards.
Hasn't he turned it on recently? He's turned into... I think he's leading scoring right now.
Yeah, he's been wholly inefficient, though. I would love to see... look up for me now. Total turnovers.
He's leading turnovers. He's leading turnovers.
He'd be beating some teams, I feel.
I thought you were going to say field goals missed, but he's not.
That as well.
No, he's not leading that. I remember that. Clay Thompson's leading that.
Okay, that makes sense. At the small forward position, I had Jimmy Butler here, but today, Gordon Hayward, who we've talking about plenty on the pod, had an awesome performance in their win over the Minnesota Timberwolves.
You, Gordy.
Season high for him. He had 30 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, and then Gatorade poured at him, Nicholas, and what happened?
His hair was still perfect.
Metallic hair, baby.
It is. It's not human.
It's not human hair.
It's like living hair, and it reforms.
It's its own organism. Yep.
It reforms when
it's
slightly out of place.
Piccolo, whenever he loses a limb and he just grows
it just grows it straight back. As soon as his hair gets messed up, it just forms and morphs.
So are we
to be
saying that
again?
Gordon Hayward is Namekian?
Yes. At least his hair is.
Done. Power forward position. Kevin Durant dropped a season-high 49 points in a comeback win, putting himself in the MVP conversation, mind you, over the Magic. He also racked up 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. He had that 50-point night as well in that loss to the Warriors.
Bumped him up to 30.1 points a game.
Yeah, he's doing very well. He's definitely in my MVP conversation, but we'll revisit awards at some stage. And your boy, Nicholas, Nikola Vucevic, had 31 points as part of a near triple-double to lead the Magic to a 104 road win over the Lakers last week. He also added 15 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 blocks to the big scoring effort. He's recorded 7 double-doubles in his last 9 games. Obviously, that was earlier in the week, so that probably changed. Probably got even more from that. Our watch, rookie watch, press the music.
Put it down, young fella!
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson 1, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
Yes, for those of you who are new, this is where we rank the rookies for the week, just going similar to JB Team. We reward them 1, 2, 3 votes based on their weekly performances. So taking the 1 vote, debut for Rookie Watch, surprisingly,
G League,
he has been...
Two-way boy.
He has been very good this year. Alonzo Trier accumulated 24 points. He went 7-11 from the field, 1-2 from 3, 9 of 12.
You love your free throws, baby.
From the free throw. That's very, very nice. 10 rebounds as well, 7 assists across 30 minutes on Tuesday against Detroit. Trier had far and away his best all-round performance of the season, racking up season highs in both rebounds and assists while having a second-best scoring output of the year. So well done there, Alonzo. I know New York are very, very high on that.
I like him. I like him a lot.
More so than Knox. Unfortunately, he who has not made rookie watch yet. 2 votes. Wendell Carter Jr., who's racked up a few votes recent weeks, posting the best performance of his young NBA career on Friday against the Pistons with 28 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks. 3 blocks, very nice there. At just 19 years old, Carter joined LeBron, Kevin Durant, Kevin Garnett, Karl Anthony Towns, and Andrew Wiggins as only teenagers in NBA history with 28 points, 3 blocks in a single game. So
bad company.
And 3 votes, your boy here, Jaren Jackson Jr. I know how much you love him. With 36 points and 8 rebounds in a double OT win over The Nets.
Yep. I know, mate. Just get to the other stuff so we can go to off topic.
He's just the fourth teenager in NBA history to have at least 36 points and 8 rebounds. The other three players with 36 and 8 in an NBA game before celebrating their 20th birthday. LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony.
Pretty good.
Very good company there. Did we do an off topic this week?
Yeah, because we got some time. Let's talk some breakfast food.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What? 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 What?
What? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Yes.
Off Why do I say off topic like it's a question at the end?
Off topic?
It's pretty good, yeah.
It's like the end of Home Improvement. Anyway.
Shout out to Tim Allen.
As you alluded to before the music, this week's off topic is inspired by breakfast food.
Yeah.
Well, it is about breakfast food, and it's inspired... What was it inspired by? PJ Tucker.
Yeah.
That's right. Self-proclaimed pancake king and waffle hater.
Ooh.
PJ Tucker was inspired this week's off topic with a discussion on breakfast food. So he hates...
Yeah.
Waffles.
So...
That is nuts to me.
You big on Insta, Nick?
Not anymore. Not really.
He's worth the follow because he just posts literally like every day. In any NBA city, he's getting pancakes, baby. And I mean, I'm a fan of pancakes myself. I do enjoy them.
I mean, they're not bad.
We have bonded over waffles ourselves.
Yes. See, the waffles is not a big thing in Australia.
No, it needs to be
and
bigger.
So that is so we've had pancakes our whole lives, obviously.
Pancake parlor.
Pancake parlor, and they're great. Like nice, soft, fluffy discs of flour.
I wasn't going to help you out
of
there.
Of flour and milk and
water.
And yes. Oh, well, sometimes it is milk.
Okay.
Buttermilk. You can get buttermilk pancakes.
Yes, you can.
With lovely maple syrup. And it all, it's all lovely. Everyone knows pancake. However, so we have been dreadfully
deprived
of waffles. And so the first time we had waffles,
for you
personally, they were freaking amazing.
Life changing.
Amazing. Because it's a pancake with the ridges so that your syrup doesn't fall everywhere. You can put chocolate chips. You can put chocolate chips on it and they get caught in the ridge. It's literally the best part of the waffle are the ridges.
It's the physiology. The physiology of the waffle.
Exactly. Because they're better equipped to handle toppings.
Did you, when you came over to London, did I take you to the chicken and waffles place?
No.
I should have, bro.
It just seems like a weird mix.
I was a skeptic. I admit, I was a skeptic because, you know, you automatically see like, you know, the sweet and salty is generally what is a massive food craze in general.
Hmm.
But the maple syrup, you also have like a sort of like southern style gravy with it as well. So they like...
Gravy and maple syrup.
But you know what? It's not like a gravy, like our sort of thick style roast gravies. They are outstanding.
Okay.
It's really good. And like, you know, you can't do that with pancakes. You can't do chicken and pancakes.
No, you can't.
So, I mean, that's where you get the waffles already. But
the one thing that pancakes do have, like, because of all the ridges on waffles, they can get a bit crunchy.
I do as well.
People like the soft,
fluffy
pancakes. Yeah. And I'm like, I understand the appeal of pancakes, but growing up, 25 years of pancakes, I've had waffles once in my life at Waffle House.
Yeah, great food.
In Atlanta.
It's like $6 for like 14 waffles.
It was incredible.
Great hospitality to us Australians.
Exactly. Like, they loved us there.
Was JBT a thing then? No, it wasn't.
No, I don't think it was. When we were in America, no,
I don't know. I don't know how we didn't come up with the idea over waffles.
But you had a pecan waffle.
Yeah.
And you put like chocolate chips on it. We had like a little hash browns. Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I am, we are both waffle lovers, waffle enthusiasts.
Yes, sir.
It would make me think a bit differently maybe if we had grown up with waffles.
Yeah, because you take something for granted, so to speak.
Yeah, but it's just like physically they're just better. Like I said, they're better equipped to handle toppings.
Yeah.
Like I put maple syrup on pancakes, they just slide off the edges. You put ice cream on pancakes, it just slides
melts,
off.
Butter melts, all that sort of stuff. The physiology of pancakes isn't great.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's divert away from the waffle pancake discussion for just a little bit, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going out to, you know, Melbourne is the capital for breakfast, hipster food, brunches in the world. Smashed avo on toast is a staple, and if you don't know about it, then you're clearly not a Melburnian or don't know enough about Melbourne. What is your, like, go-to breakfast, whether you're making it for yourself or
here's the thing. I am not a massive traditional breakfast fan.
Okay.
So I will happily make myself, like, I generally make, if I'm making it at home, I've got some time, like on the weekend.
The old English breakfast?
Not so much, because I don't have the sausages or anything like that.
The beans?
I will chop up bacon, yep. Like dice it.
Okay.
Chuck it in the pan, pre-fry it, scrambled egg. I'm a big fan of scrambled egg.
Scrambled's the top egg?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd probably add it up there as well.
Put a bit of cheese, capsicum, okay. Onion.
Yep.
It's all very lovely.
Gordon Ramsay, Mum got me Gordon Ramsay's cookbook, and spicy, he has a spicy scrambled eggs. And it has some capsicum, some onion, and some chorizo.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I do like chorizo sausages. That's what is it, yeah. They're very nice.
But keep going.
Yeah, that's if I'm making them for myself. If I go out, I can't eat
something you can already cook.
No, not so much that.
Really?
I don't like eggs. I can't eat scrambled eggs.
Hollandaise fan?
No. Nah.
Okay.
Like, I've never had Eggs Benedict, so I can't even say that I'm not a Hollandaise fan. I've never had it.
Interesting.
I don't like bacon cooked elsewhere. If I'm cooking the bacon myself,
yeah.
So much better.
Yeah.
But I can't eat restaurant bacon. The hash, like, everything's too oily. So if I go out, I'm all on sweets.
Okay, so French toast.
I'll get the waffles. I'll get the French toast with Nutella.
Yeah.
I'll get pancakes with ice cream.
Yeah.
Or blueberries, strawberries, like big fruit. Like if I'm going out to eat it, like that's what I'll have for breakfast.
Okay, interesting. I'm more of a savory person over breakfast.
But see, then, if I have it at home, savory.
Yeah.
If I eat it out, I can't explain it. I get sick when I eat too much savory breakfast. If I don't cook it myself.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know.
You're a weird man. but I back you in, mate. Everyone has their tastes. Where does breakfast rank the meals of the day? We go breakfast. We're not including brunch. We're going traditional. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Dessert.
Dinner. Oh, if we're including dessert's not a meal. It's part of dinner.
Is it?
Okay. We'll put it as something separate. All right. So mine's dinner.
Yep.
First.
Yep, I would have the same.
Then dessert.
Oh, yeah.
Then breakfast. Yeah. Then lunch. Because lunch is just like a basic sandwich.
I think I'm probably with whatever. You there, nearly. I don't know. We're agreeing.
People froth over breakfast, and I'm like, I would rather have a decent dinner. Yeah. I don't like going out for breakfast.
Well, like my favorite, generally your favorite, you can have pizza and burgers or whatever, but like they are best served at dinner time. The best foods are served at dinner. Like people that say that, like if you're PJ Tucker, your favorite foods are pancakes. I mean, you can have pancakes for dinner. Pancake parlors open like 24 hours in some places. Yeah. But
you've got more of an appetite at dinner as well. So food tends to taste better.
You savor dinner time.
Yeah. Breakfast foods are great.
Yeah.
Just not when they're
served. But you can serve breakfast foods
anytime you
breakfast
want.
Breakfast or dinner. Like, whenever you don't have, like, enough food, but you've always got the staples, you're always going to have eggs around.
Mm.
I would always just go, all right, let's cook myself an omelette, let's cook myself some scrambled eggs here, a couple of fried eggs, a bit of fried eggs with sriracha.
Ooh.
This, salt, bit of salt.
Yeah,
bang.
Okay.
Just give it a go.
Sunny side up, or do you flip it?
I normally have two, so I do probably want of both. Okay. But I like the goo.
I'm not a huge fan of runny yolk.
Okay, so you...
That's why I tend to scramble my eggs.
Divert your eggs. But maybe... I have
scrambled eggs with sriracha.
Yeah, it's maybe. Good, but I don't know why I prefer the fried. But guys, let us know your breakfast takes. We want to hear them. Off topic is Nick's favorite topic by far. He does research for, but he's the most learned in easily.
I mean, we took apart the physiology of the waffle.
Yes, we did. And we did it damn well. You ain't going to find that on the ringer.
Damn right. I think that just about does it for another week. So we'd just like to say thank you for tuning into Just Ball Things. You can catch us every Monday on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Pods, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Blog Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your podcast normally. Do us a solid, leave us a rating and review there as well. Remember, it's you guys that make this show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep waffling, superstars.